Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat of Connecticut's beautiful 5th District, right around the corner from where I live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
You're always welcome to move over, you know that.
I know, and vice versa. And
I'm always looking for educated, you know, educated constituents. You'd fit right in.
well, we love going over there, and we're there quite a bit. We were there in Canaan not that long ago at a wonderful diner called Pops, which is open at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's amazing.
It is open very early. The 5th District is home to many excellent diners. I love diners, and I will be happy to have diner food, particularly diner breakfast at any hour of the day and night.
You bet.
I'm blessed with many excellent diners in my district.
Now that we're talking food, let's talk Texas. There is no sequitur there, I'm sure.
No, there is not.
So the United States House of Representatives, the United States Senate, both of which are controlled by the Republicans right now, maybe not forever, but right now, vote for a tax overhaul, which the American people don't like. They say, we don't like this bill. We get it. We know what it's all about. It's helping the rich.
The American people are smart. They get that this is, you know, all these promises, all these claims, oh, we're going to do this, something that's great for the middle class. And guess what? Here's the reality. The day we are speaking, going to be voting on this piece of deception is the kindest thing I can say about it. It's a huge giveaway to the wealthiest Americans and to the wealthiest corporations. It is preserving things like carried interest, which benefits a tiny handful of hedge fund managers, but it actually is going to cost middle-class families in New York and Connecticut a whole lot more money. That's what this is. This is the biggest wealth transfer we have ever seen in this country from some states like yours and mine, like Massachusetts and New York and Connecticut, places where we believe in government that functions and we pay for it. We pay for excellent schools. We pay for parks. We pay for roads. We pay for all those things because we want government to work. And they are going to penalize our states and transfer effectively our money to the Floridas and the Texases and the Alabamas of this country. It is wrong. It is mean. It is vindictive. And it is nothing about the middle class because the benefits, over 80% of the benefits, go to the top 1% over time. I mean, that is the inverse. That is the opposite of what was claimed.
Well, it now appears that Speaker Ryan wants to target Social Security. We've always known it. I've always said that's impossible. He'll never get away with that. Medicare and Medicaid next. And we already know that in this tax package, we know that my Medicare, is going to be affected by this tax package.
Absolutely. And this is what really has ended up happening. And why I'm kind of shocked that this has happened, but this is the unholy alliance we've wound up with. We have a president who is desperate for a win after a year in office, a win at any cost. Doesn't matter what it is, but it needs to be huge, right? It needs to be big. You've got a Senate with, you know, Mitch McConnell, who really wants to make sure that the big donors to the Republican Party open their wallets again. And if you want to know how serious that concern is, just ask Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin of New York, who has talked about this, or ask Chris Collins, also of New York, who said donors wouldn't return his phone calls. That's what that's about, making sure that the major corporations and that the wealthiest Americans who have traditionally, many of them supported the Republican Party, that they open up their wallets again. And in the case of what's happening in the House, you know, there hasn't been direct support to go after and undermine Medicare and Social Security, but Paul Ryan and leadership in the House has realized that they can get to that through the back door because they are creating an unbelievably irresponsible $1.5 trillion deficit. $1.5 trillion. And guess what? That's going to force us. We're just going to have to make cuts. It is cynical. It's disingenuous. What they can't get directly, they're going to try to force through the back door. And, you know, I'm proud of the American people for seeing through this for what it is, that it is a windfall and a giveaway. And here's what really stinks about it. Here's what's really too bad, Alan. I know we need tax reform. Tax code's way too complicated. It punishes small businesses. It means some companies pay a ton of tax. And I've talked to different companies in Connecticut. Some of them pay zero, and some pay a ton. That's not fair, and it's not right. And we don't want to be losing business to companies overseas, and we don't want U.S. companies shipping their jobs overseas. There's a huge amount of support to simplify and change that. But that's not what this bill is about. If they wanted to do that, they'd make it revenue neutral the way it was last done. It was done under Ronald Reagan. It was revenue neutral. They said, we're going to collect the same amount of money. We're just going to make it fairer and simpler. Okay, you know what? They could have gotten 75% of the votes in Congress if they'd done that. Really, you could have. If that had been the goal, we could have done that. That wasn't the goal. The goal was, again, a win at any cost for the president, a giveaway and a payback to the big donors, and a backdoor way of going after Medicare and Social Security. That's what this turned out to be. It has nothing to do with taxes. And that's how you can hear them all busy talking about the middle class when you drill down. Not going to help the middle class. I mean, maybe if you're in some states, it will. Sure as heck won't be helping them in, you know, Great Barrington or in Cheshire, Connecticut or Waterbury or any of the towns I represent. That's simply not true.
I got 2 minutes. I want to ask you about the topic of the century. There is now an awful lot of talk about, you know, whether or not men should resign from the moment they're accused. Do you have a sense of whether there should be some kind of, proof offered?
Well, I'll tell you, first to put this in context, a long, long time ago, I was an intern on Capitol Hill in college, all right? I've seen my fair share of stuff.
Have you?
You know, everybody got warnings about not to get in elevators with certain people. That is still going on. The culture needs to change, for sure, in Congress, and as we're seeing, you know, across the country. And one of the ways you cure that in Congress, frankly, is you just need more women in Congress, period, and in politics, period. So that is, redoubles my commitment to make sure we get excellent candidates and more of them who are women elected to the House and the Senate. To help change that culture.
Should Al Franken resign?
Help change that culture. Now, you know, in terms of resignation, I'll tell you one of the interesting things that a colleague of mine said that I think is very true. Here's the problem by relying on resignation. Resignation is only something that works for people who experience shame. People who are shameless never resign. So you need to have a process, and we need to change the culture. And people need to be, there are a whole lot of changes that need to happen in Congress. You know, those who have been subjected to abuse in their offices have not had a good place to go. It's been a system that has not worked well at all. And that's why I'm sponsor of, a number of different bills to help change that. But at the end of the day, it is leadership from the top. And that's what you're seeing. It is pretty appalling how much is still going on.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty is a Democrat from Connecticut's 5th District. I love talking to her. She always makes sense to me. So we'll talk to you the next time, Elizabeth, about, let's see whether we can get down to Mr. Mueller.